Amen. The name Joanna Cole, does that ring a bell at all for you? Well, maybe not right away, but what if I were to ask you if you've ever heard of the Magic School Bus book series? The Magic School Bus is authored by a woman named Joanna Cole. Now, Joanna Cole was in the news just this past week as we learned of her death at the age of 75. Now, Joanna Cole authored many books in this Magic School Book series, and if you've ever read these books, you kind of know the premise. They are a wonderful opportunity for children to learn science as well as to go on fantastic adventures. In each one of the stories, these adventures go to unimaginable places that we could possibly never go in our lifetime, whether that's to outer space, or these two books say, The Magic School Bus on the Ocean Floor, or Inside a Hurricane. Sometimes the Magic School Bus even goes inside the human body and explores around. Now, at the end of each of these books, the Magic School Bus and their teacher, Ms. Frizzle, who takes them on these fanciful adventures, her and her class return back home to the classroom, to what is familiar, and they talk about all they have learned. And at the end of each of the stories is a clear definition between what is science and fact, and what is, again, good storytelling. Now, when Joanna Cole wrote these books, she would often be interviewed about them, and she was asked if the character, the teacher, Ms. Frizzle, was based on her. Maybe she had an adventurous spirit. Well, in one interview, she said, oh no, the stories actually in this book are not so much about me and Ms. Frizzle's adventures, but I'm much more like Arnold, the character who is quite adverse to change. She said it even takes her a lot to be convinced to go on the teacup ride at Disneyland. Well, maybe in these days, I happen to wonder that if Joanna Cole had been able to live a longer life, if in time she would have written a Magic School Bus ride story as to what is happening in this time. Perhaps a journey into the world of viruses and what pandemics are all about. And the good news of the end of the book would be that you could return back home again, that you would return to something familiar. Maybe that is where we wish we could go today, on a magic school bus ride, far away from the realities of what is happening in our world, and know for sure we could come back to something that is familiar and certain. But there is good news for us this day, that in the midst of our journeys, wherever they may take us, in the midst of this reality, even if we'd like to escape it in some way for a while, we center ourselves. We return always to the foundation of our hope, the promises that we have in Christ. And today, in Scripture, that promise comes directly to you. That word is spoken clearly. And though there are so many scriptures of which we could draw from this day, we have pulled out three in particular that we hope are words of comfort and hope in your own journey of faith. Those words come from the Gospels of John and Matthew. That word directly spoken to you today is that you are known, that Jesus hears your voice, and that you are given an invitation to come to Jesus with whatever burdens you, and to trust that our Lord carries that, lightens your load, gives you a sense of peace. And you are promised to not only be heard and to be given that invitation, but that in your journey of faith, you do not walk alone. God is with you always. These promises do offer us great comfort and powerful hope, much needed in this time. As Pastor Jason mentioned in the beginning of our service, we are in the midst of a preaching series throughout the summer around faith, hope, and love. So this month of July, we have centered around the promises of Scripture that do offer hope for the future. The last 2 weeks, we have been centered in Old Testament readings and hearing the stories of Abraham and the story of David. Of course, the hope given to Abraham was to have a great nation. And indeed, God's promises were fulfilled. in a great nation, a good people called and sent forth by God. And of that great nation, the fulfillment is Jesus himself. And then last week, David, lifted up as a great king, flawed, yes, but a great king, a king who would lead in a time of glory, a time that God's people longed to have returned again, and God promised there would be a time of glory, a fullness that would come from a great king who was unflawed but perfect in every way, and again, that fulfillment is in Jesus. Jesus is the promise. Promises given to Abraham, promises given to God's people through a ruler, King David, now fulfilled in the promise, Jesus Christ himself. Now, if you have been a member or in the community of Rochester for the past 15 years or a member of our congregation, you may know that one of the hallmarks of the congregation at Bethel is that we offer a yearly musical. That musical has been in the past titled The Promise. Have you ever seen it? I'm curious if you've ever been to that. It is fitting in its title because it is truly the story of Jesus. That's the whole story. It's been performed here 6 times, right here. This is transformed into a stage. And the story originally, I'm told, was of a grandfather telling his grandchildren all about this amazing man, Jesus, and they want to know the story in its fullness. And at Bethel anyway, though it was not perhaps a grandfather telling grandchildren, it was like a cafe scene, a cafeteria set up over here. I'm looking at Kim. Kim, you were in that show. set up over here, and as on the side of the stage, there are stories being told in modern day, everything comes alive here in front of the audience and in this sanctuary as prophets tell from above the story of the prophetic word that there would be a Messiah, to the announcement of angels, to Jesus' birth himself. You played Mary, right, Kim? Mm-hmm. To the very story of Jesus' life unfolding, his preaching, his teaching, his healing, and his being confronted by the religious authorities. And then, here on this particular stage, there is even the erection of 3 crosses. There's actually holes in the floor here where those crosses are set. And then you see Jesus' death, his crucifixion, and then a stone rolled in front of the tomb, and then that stone rolled away by the angels, and then Jesus alive again, risen from the dead. It is a powerful experience. If you have ever gone to a play where that story comes alive, it is so amazing to just for a moment feel like you are there. Feel like you are experiencing for your own self the promise, Jesus in the flesh among us. Well, again, the good news is even if we cannot gather even for a couple of hours here to hear the whole entirety of the story of the promise, every time we open Scripture, every time that word is heard by you, Jesus comes to life. Jesus comes to be with you. Jesus says directly, here and now, you are my child. I love you. I am with you. I offer you my fullness so that you may know peace and that I have a future for you, a future filled with eternal life with me. It's a promise not only held in the past, it is a promise for the present and a promise for the future. It is truly what gives us hope as Christians. Now, we are blessed at Bethel with a parish nurse. In this last month, our parish nurse, Kathy Ferguson, who actually met you at the door, she wrote an article entitled Keep Hope Alive. In this article for our e-news, she mentions the fact that she loves that word hope. She said hope is a word that she has printed on a necklace, on a bracelet, on a garden sign. She just loves that word. But she's quick to clarify in her article that how we understand hope in our daily life is oftentimes a wish for something to happen. We live in a hope for some good things to happen, and that is a good way to live indeed. But she clarifies what it is to have a Christian hope, faith, and what that hope looks like. For hope in our understanding as God's people is a confident expectation that God will fulfill God's promise. A hopeful, centering word of expectation. A confident hope that God will fulfill what God has promised. I appreciate that distinction, for we have wishes for many things. Some come to pass and some do not, but we have this certainty. We have this fact that we can build upon as people of faith, a promise poured out in our baptism that then we live out our whole life long. Speaking of facts, I'll give you another name. In the beginning, I might have thrown a bit of a curve at you, Joanna Cole. Maybe you didn't know that name, but here's another name for you. How about the name Alex Trebek? Ring a bell? Alex Trebek, of course, is the host of the game show Jeopardy. And Alex Trebek has been in the news as of late, at least in the last couple of years. As you may have heard, he is fighting pancreatic cancer. Well, this past week, he was in the news again because he has a memoir that is being released on Tuesday. That memoir is a story, of course, of his life, and it comes the day before his 80th birthday. Now, Alex realizes that with 80 years under his belt and a pretty serious diagnosis, that perhaps it would be a good time for him to author his own story before someone else tells it. And so the book does chronicle his full life, and it reflects on his time as a game show host, which actually he finds great pride in. He has a great pride in the integrity of the program. And why is that? Well, because it deals in facts, he says. And then in an interview, he's quoted as saying, "There is a certain comfort in knowing a fact." You can say there is a sun up in the sky, and that's a fact. I suppose you could say there isn't a sun up in the sky, he says, but that isn't fact or reality. It's good to name reality. And then he goes on to say, "But when reality becomes distorted in some way, when it is manipulated or maneuvered in order to serve our own devices, to serve our own perspective, to serve our own bigotry, to serve our own fill in the blank," he said, why then you can run into trouble. Perhaps in this time you are discerning what are facts, what are being manipulated around you, what is it that you have found to be muddled in our world, and where are you looking for that certainty? How are you finding that discernment? Maybe you even feel like on some level your life is in jeopardy. Well, there is an answer for you this day. It is an answer that is worth more than $1 million you could win on a game show. It is an answer filled with pure hope. He is the one who knows you by name. He is the one who promises to never leave you nor forsake you. He promises to always give you life and salvation. And the answer is, who is Jesus? Amen.